Tucson is like a different world in comparison to the swamps of Washington, D.C., and I'm happy to see a familiar tour guide here. Longtime NPR commentator Baxter Black is with us to help out this city mouse. Baxter is a cowboy poet and a former large animal veterinarian. If you have questions for Baxter Black about life as a cowboy near the border or as a cowboy poet, or in the event that any of your large animals aren't feeling well, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can email us, talk@npr.org. And we're also going to take questions for Baxter from our audience here in Tucson. And Baxter Black, I have to ask you, would you serve guests food that had fallen on the floor?
If they were four-legged, I guess. It's the only guess I have.
Baxter Black's most recent book is Blazing Bloats and Cows on Fire, or It's Hard to Blow Out a Holstein, and it's nice to have you with us. How did you become a cowboy, and how did you become a cowboy poet?
Well, first off, bienvenidos. Welcome to Arizona. We're happy to have you out west.
It's a pleasure to be here.
A lot of people don't know you're as young as you are.
Oh, we're back in that white lie category, aren't we, Baxter?
When I go around the country, people say, is Neil Conan really as intellectual as he sounds, or does he wear spectacles, or
I guess they didn't hear the bald? First part of the show,
No, they like to know what you look like. Well, he's a dapper sort of fellow, actually. He has a beard that's, I'm sure you're dying it gray, aren't you?
That's it, yeah. That's
but
it.
His hair's the normal color. Yeah. Red, looks like.
Yeah, red, reddish hair. Yes.
Dark in here, but...
It's wealth, and thank heavens for that.
Yeah, and he's articulate, as you can tell.
Well, I have to say that, Baxter, my mustache is nothing as compared to yours.
Well, everybody has their assets. You can't do anything else, grow a mustache, that's...
So that's you have a ranch. In fact, as we were down on our way to the border yesterday afternoon, we drove near the vicinity of it, and I was told, in fact, that this is going to be the next site for something on the order of 30,000 homes are going to be built in that area.
Well, they're working on it, but as you know, the market is not real good today, and so we're trying to... Actually, the bulldozers are slowing down.
Mostly because you're throwing your body in front of them?
No. I'm an interloper here to Arizona. And I moved here in 97, and I grew up in Las Cruces and lived in Idaho and Colorado. But I'm like many people in this audience here. We came here to be a part of something. I grew up on the border, and you're talking about immigration, and I listened to all that, and they come right across my place and to get here to go to work. So I know all about that.
Where did you first work as a cowboy?
Well, I grew up in New Mexico, and I was, remember, I'm a veterinarian, really.
Yeah.
And I'm a cowboy, depending on who's asking me the question. And since it's you, I'll go ahead and play like.
Okay.
But I have cows, and I work in the feedlots, and you do a lot of this horseback. And I still have cows and horses, and so when I go out to check my cows, around here, a lot of these people know we have mesquite and cactus, and it's not a good place for a four-wheeler. I mean, you can come up the arroyo, but you can't get out into the country very deep. And so we go horseback, and that's how we check our cows.
And when did you start becoming a poet?
Well, I thought I was a songwriter. Did you?
I did, but I was disabused of this notion.
Yes, well, I found out I wasn't, too. And just by, I guess because I was writing in verse, I turned it into a poem, and I found out that there's a little magic in that.
Your poetry rhymes, does it not?
Well, that's odd, because by the definition of the poet laureate, if it rhymes, it's not poetry. And we have kind of an analogy here in Arizona. One of our animals here is a javelina. But after you get to, you look at that and you say, my gosh, pork chops, bacon, all that stuff. But the real answer is, and you will hear this by the naturalist, the javelina is not really a pig or even related to them. However, you cannot define a javelina without using the word snout or porkish or... And poetry's sort of the same way. You know? If it rhymes, it's not poetry, but that doesn't really make sense, does it? So...
Let's see if we get some questions for Baxter Black from our listeners. They may do better than I'm doing. Again, the number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And let's go to There we are. Joe. Joe is with us from Gillette, Wyoming.
Hijuela.
Hello. How are you guys doing out there?
We're doing very well.
Is it you, Joe? Well,
I'm doing good. We're still in snow up here, but...
How are the sheep?
Come in another month or two.
And did you have a question for Baxter?
Yes, I did. Baxter, I have a 17-year-old daughter that's really interested in going to veterinary school. I was kind of curious, where did you go, and would you recommend that college?
Of course. I bought this license from a guy in Iowa who sold out his practice. I went to Colorado State after I went to New Mexico State, and of course, if you really wanted to go to vet school, that's a good place. Where did you say you live? Wyoming.
That's
Gillette.
Where,
yeah. Wyoming.
You guys go to Nebraska or to Colorado State, but you better tell her right now, she's got to do her homework.
Veterinary.
Well, she gets pretty good grades, but she hasn't actually got into the literal guts of anything yet.
Well, that's less important getting into vet school as having good grades, and I can tell you that from experience.
I'm told that, in fact, veterinary studies are in some ways more difficult than medical studies, than studying to work on just one species, humans.
Well, I was just sort of getting by, Neil. You're over-evaluating my abilities to compare the two. I will tell you the difference, though, and this is with respect for my fellow veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference, and the real difference is there is not one horse that is more valuable than one child. So that's kind of how it works. We got to know the same things, but the responsibility is much deeper.
Joe, thanks very much for the call, and we wish your daughter the best of luck.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Bye.
So long. Let's see if we can go now, if I can work out this system. There we go. And let's go to Greg, and Greg is with us from Wild Lake in Michigan.
Wild Lake, Michigan, right.
Go ahead, please.
I got an Appaloosa that likes to eat that green timber.
That's, really?
It's not good for him at all. Is there any advice I can get from Mr. Baxter?
We first have to discuss the issue of liability for issuing veterinary advice over the radio.
Well, I'm exempt. I'll exempt it.
Okay.
Okay, we have some things down here. We have things out west. They're made out of wire, and they're called fences.
Yes.
Okay, and Michigan will get them one of these days. Anything else? Is that two G's or three, Greg?
That will have to do. All right, okay. Thank you.
Greg, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. Were all your problems so easy to solve?
It's just the way you look at them.
Yeah. And as you know, for that, if you were still, you know, working at this, what kind of bill would you have sent Greg?
Didn't you get his credit card?
Let's see if we can get back on the phones. This is Samantha. Samantha's with us from Columbia City in Illinois. Is that right? Indiana.
Indiana.
There you go. If I could read the difference between an L and an N, I might have a better paying job than this. Go ahead. You have a question for Baxter?
Yeah, I do. Actually, we do own cows. They're all giving birth right now. But one of the things that we've noticed over the last couple of years is that there's been a big drop-off of large animal vets. And I was wondering if you had any insight as to why we're seeing not a lot of people practicing with health care for large animals like cattle, and what we could do to get people more interested in it.
Well, these are all serious questions, and I'm a frivolous person. I will just simply tell you that there have been many changes. It's gender and generational as well, and James Herriot days are gone. I think what will happen in the end, within 20 years, most food animal medicine practice will be done by ag students who take a degree in something like, they'll be like physician's assistants, and then they'll be in touch with a licensed veterinarian and know something about the bovine. But I don't see any real change right now.
Good luck, Samantha. We appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Now, Baxter, you you famously said that you do not have a television or a cell phone. Is that still the case?
That's correct. And one of those questions about stealing somebody's wireless,
uh-huh. Wouldn't apply to you.
Wouldn't even know how to answer the question. However, we do have, in my office, we have 6 or 8 computers, and I appreciate their value. But my job, Neil, is to think up stuff to put on those computers. Right?
That would make you a content provider.
Hijuela!
As you move through this world...
That was kind of a social lubricant word, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought you would appreciate that
particular
remark.
That was really
good.
Yeah. And I had a plastic sleeve under there, and I was going to try one on.
Okay.
But I brought my own cow. She's out there in the grass.
Fenced in, I hope.
She's broke to lead, actually.
You've said, of all the jobs you've done, what's been the most fun?
Well, I wanted to go to vet school so I could be in the cow business.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up becoming a poet, which is okay, too. I like entertaining. But I always have my cows and my horses and my life. You know, that's my life. And I'm able to put all this stuff together and be a part of public radio. That's you know what I do for a living? Do you have a clue?
I figure you talk for a living.
Yeah, that's sure one of them.
Yeah.
I do agricultural banquets. And I have a
column. And how much do the cows pay for this?
Well, a lot more than the corn does.
I suspect.
That.
You're right.
And I go around and speak to the Cattlemen's Association and the veterinary groups and things like that.
And you walk away with an honorarium?
Well, it's a little more than that.
You know. Nice to know you charge a hefty fee.
Oh, yes. Well, that's how I make a living. And yeah. I have a weekly column, and I have a commercial radio program and a show on RFD-TV. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of that.
Have you?
Yeah. We would get cable back in the in back east. Not necessarily that, but, you know.
Well, it has the Polka Hour.
Yeah.
Big Joe's Polka Hour.
And
me.
And you.
Yeah.
And you. What do you do for an hour?
I just have a 2.5 minutes.
I see. Yeah. Well, thank heavens for that.
That's the span I think in, a commentary, you know, or a column. Or
Baxter Black, it's been delightful to have you on the program.
Thank you. Welcome to Arizona.
Baxter Black, a cowboy poet, former large animal vet, and a longtime NPR commentator, author of Blazing Bloats and Cows on Fire. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.